Well, this time, if you'd please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2 this morning. There are several chapters in the Bible that are famous or stand out because of a certain theme or topic which they address. For example, if I were to call out the name 1 Corinthians chapter 13, many of you would respond, the love chapter, right? You know that one. Or Genesis 1 speaks about what? Creation. Or Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And Hebrews chapter 11, this is another one of these famous chapters. It's often called the faith chapter because it is an entire chapter devoted to the topic of faith. It is a favorite passage for many, not only because it explains and describes what faith is, but also because it gives many practical and concrete examples of the varied aspects of faith. Now, we don't know exactly who wrote this chapter because the book of Hebrews is the one book in the New Testament that is anonymous, but whoever the human author is, we know this, that these words are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, God is the ultimate author behind Hebrews chapter 11. Now, there are many excellent reasons to study this great chapter. Let me share three of them with you. One reason, of course, is that it is the Word of God. And it is always profitable to study God's Word. Then a second reason to study Hebrews chapter 11 is because it is all about faith. And faith is foundational to the Christian life. You cannot become a Christian without saving faith. You cannot live as a Christian without persevering faith. And you cannot grow as a Christian unless you are growing in faith. Faith is foundational to the Christian life. And then a third reason to study this chapter is that Hebrews 11 not only teaches us so many practical and important things about faith, but it also gives us a good overview of the whole Old Testament. And the writer of Hebrews, he digs back into the Old Testament for biblical examples of the various aspects of faith. And you got to remember, at this time, the Old Testament, that was the only Bible anybody had, right? The New Testament was still being written. So if you wanted to find biblical examples of faith in the Old Testament, that was the right place to go. And you know, some of us are not as familiar with the Old Testament as we are with the New Testament. I would guess that most Christians spend more time in the books of the New Testament than we do in the Old Testament books of the law and the writings and the prophets. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I hope you're reading from the New Testament every day. But, okay, if you only read the New Testament and you never get around to reading the Old Testament, then you're missing out on a large part of God's revelation. And there are many parts of even the New Testament that we can only fully understand if we know the Old Testament first. So if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, or if you perhaps you haven't read it in a while, Hebrews chapter 11, this is a great introduction or a review, or you could even call it sort of a Cliff's Notes of the Old Testament. And as we study through these various examples in Hebrews 11, not only are you going to learn more about faith, but you will also get an overview from beginning to end of the whole Old Testament and some of the most important people found in the Old Testament. And so today we begin a study of Hebrews chapter 11. It's a new message series. It's entitled Growing in Faith. Growing in Faith. You know, the disciples once said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. That's a good prayer. You know, we are all at different points in our Christian walk in maturity. Some of you have been walking with the Lord a long time. Some of you are just getting started, right? Some of you are growing like the weeds in my lawn. Some of you perhaps have leveled off. You perhaps stopped growing altogether. Or perhaps you've been a Christian for some time now, but you've never really grown much in your faith. No matter where you are in your Christian walk today, this chapter is for you. We all need to grow in our faith. And I'm really excited about this series. I've been wanting to preach this chapter for several years now, and then the Lord has kept leading me to other messages instead. But now I believe God is saying the time is right. And if God wants to speak to us about growing in our faith, then that means that God must have some awesome things ahead for us. Because it is faith that activates God's power in our own personal lives and in the life of God's church. So just imagine if we all take the lessons of this chapter to heart, if we all grow by leaps and bounds in our faith over the coming months, what wonderful things does God have planned for you as a believer and for us as a congregation as we grow together in our faith? My prayer is that through this study, we may all come to a deeper understanding of true biblical faith, and that individually and as a church together, we may all grow in our own personal faith as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment and we'll pause right here. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing upon this entire series together. Will you please pray with me? Well, Father God, we thank you for this amazing chapter that we are going to begin today. And Lord, I'm excited. I pray that we're all excited and all wanting to learn more about faith and growing in our faith. And Lord, we pray as your disciples prayed so many years ago, Lord, increase our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we begin today with verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And these two verses introduce the whole chapter, and they also provide us with what I like to call a working definition of faith. So this morning, we're going to spend some time looking at this definition of faith closely. We're going to see what it means, and just as important, what it does not mean. It is important to understand these verses correctly, because they form the basis for all the other verses that follow in the chapter. So let's read these two chapters, these two verses together now. Here we go. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is the word of God. So that's our text for this morning. Verse 1 gives us a two-part definition of faith. First part, faith is being sure of what you hope for. Second part, faith is being certain of what you do not see. And then verse 2 tells us why this definition is so important by applying it first to the lives of Old Testament believers and then by extension to us as well. So let's get started now, okay? First, let's look at the first half of this two-part definition of faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. Now, it's important to understand that this whole topic of faith that's brought up here now in chapter 11, verse 1, this is not some brand new topic that the writer of Hebrews just starts out of the blue here in chapter 11. He has previously addressed the topic of faith back in chapters 4, 6, and 10. He's going to go on to say some more things about faith in chapters 12 and 13. However, the bulk of his teaching, most of his teaching in faith takes place where? Right here in chapter 11. The word faith itself appears 31 times in the book of Hebrews. 24 of those are here in chapter 11. Now, the most recent mention of faith before our chapter, before chapter 11, it's found just a few verses before. It's in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 towards the end of the chapter. And I want us to take a brief look at that verse together because it helps us set the context for our present verse and chapter. But even before then, a little context on the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was originally written to Jews who had become Christians who were now undergoing severe persecution for their faith. Let me say that again. The book of Hebrews, okay, was originally written to Jews who had become Christians who were now undergoing severe persecution for their faith. And the whole book of Hebrews looks at various aspects of the Old Testament and how they have all been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Chapter 10, the chapter immediately before chapter 11, chapter 10 speaks particularly of Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross. And the writer of Hebrews tells us about Christ's perfect sacrifice, which fulfilled the law and by which we have been saved and made holy in God's sight. It is because of Christ's sacrifice that we have confidence to approach God by the blood of Jesus. And he then urges his readers not to throw away that confidence, right? Not to let go of Christ, not to let go of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. No, he tells us we need to persevere in our faith despite persecution because Christ will return as he has promised. Now, all of that brings us to Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38 quotes a very important verse in the Old Testament. It's from the book of Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:4 says this, "The righteous will live by faith." And that one verse from Habakkuk, that is a central verse to both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul quotes that verse in the book of Galatians, again in the book of Romans, as a key verse supporting the doctrine of salvation by faith in Christ alone. This is the verse that Martin Luther discovered that led him to rediscover the biblical doctrine of justification by faith, which launched the whole Reformation. The just will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Do you want to be justified or made righteous in God's sight? Then you must live by faith. As we said earlier, all that we do as Christians comes from faith. You cannot become a Christian without faith, and you cannot live as a Christian without faith. Faith not only starts you on your way, but faith undergirds all that you do as a Christian. As Christians, we are heaven-bound, but we still live here on earth. We still struggle with trials and pain and sin, and we do not yet see, that's going to be important, we'll come back to that, we do not yet see the fullness of our salvation that will be completed in heaven one day. So we're caught somewhere in between, and therefore we must continue in faith, persevering until the end. So what then is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us, first of all, that faith is being sure of what you hope for. And those words, being sure there in your text, that is a single word in the original language. It's a word that literally means this, something that goes underneath something else, that which goes underneath something which causes or makes it to stand. It's what we would call a foundation or a substructure. And you know what? The stronger the foundation, the stronger the structure it supports. And so faith is what? Faith is the foundation in your life that keeps your hope alive, that keeps your hope from being shaken when trials come your way. The stronger your faith, the stronger your hope and your life. Now, here in Florida, if you live in a trailer and there's a hurricane coming, you need to get out, right? You need to evacuate. Why? Because you don't have a foundation. You don't have a foundation, and therefore you have no confidence. You have no confidence that your trailer is going to make it through the storm. But if you live in a home with a strong foundation, then that foundation gives you confidence when the wind begins to blow. And it's the same way with faith. The same way with faith. Without faith, your confidence, your hope, they're just going to get tossed away as easily as a trailer in 150 mile per hour winds. Faith is the sure and strong foundation that gives you confidence or assurance concerning the things you hope for as a Christian. I'll say that again. Faith is the sure and strong foundation that gives you confidence. It gives you assurance concerning the things you hope for as a Christian. And the word hope there in that verse, that's not a word that just means wishful thinking or hoping against hope. You know, like when someone asks you, do you think things will get better? And you answer almost despairingly, well, I hope so, you know, I hope so. Now, this word hope here is the exact opposite of despair. It is a word that means to wait for something with confidence and assurance. It is the hope of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, who writes this. He says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Don't you just love that? David is just full of hope and confidence in God as he brings his daily requests before the Lord. And you might wonder, well, how do you do that? How do you keep a hope like that alive in your life? How do you keep your hope from being shaken? Well, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that you need a strong foundation. You don't just pin your hopes up in the air and hope against hope that everything will turn out all right. That's not Christianity. No, faith is the foundation. Faith is the sure and strong foundation that gives you the confidence and assurance that you need. So that's the first part of our definition this morning. Faith is being sure of what you hope for as a Christian. And then secondly, the second part of our definition now, faith is being certain of what you do not see. And the word that is translated certain here, it's a word that means evidence, proof, or conviction. It comes from a word that means to either convict or convince someone of the truth. And so it speaks of a deep conviction or certainty in your heart. And then the word that's translated what in that phrase, you know, certain of what you do not see, this is a word that means something that has been done or accomplished. It refers to matters or things that are factual or real. For example, we find the same word in Hebrews 6:18. Hebrews 6:18 speaks of two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Two unchangeable things, that is, two unalterable facts, two realities that cannot be changed. Or we find the same word again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, which says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. That word reality in Hebrews 10:1, that's the same word we find here in Hebrews 11:1. So what does this second half now of our two-part definition of faith teach us? It teaches us that faith is a deep conviction in your heart concerning certain facts or realities that you cannot see. Faith is a deep conviction in your heart concerning certain facts or realities that you cannot see. This is so important. Okay? True biblical faith is, it's not faith in fantasies or in things that are not true, but it is faith in realities, realities which are unseen by human eyes. The New English Bible captures this thought perfectly with its translation. Faith makes us certain of realities we do not see. I like that. Faith makes us certain of realities we do not see. Now, there are two things, okay, two things we need to grasp from this part of the definition. The first one is this. If you can see it, it's not faith. Okay? If you can see it, it's not faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this. We live by faith, not by sight. And that verse, faith and sight are what? They're opposites, right? They're set in contrast to each other. If you can see it, it's not faith. Let me give you a few examples. For example, if you could see God, then it would not take any faith to believe in him. Why? Because you could actually see him. And if you can see it, it's not faith. Another example, if I have an unexpected car repair of $500, okay, and I have $10,000 of discretionary funds in my checking account, you know, I wish, right? You know, but you know, let's say I've got $10,000 in my checking account, then it doesn't take any faith at all for me to pay that car bill. Why? Because the money is already there. I can see it, right? It's right there. And if I can see it, it's not faith. Or how about when God asks you to do something that you already know how to do? Well, that doesn't take a whole lot of faith, right? But when God calls you to do something that is beyond your comfort level or ability, okay, now we're talking about faith again, because now you're dealing with something that you cannot see. So that's the first thing we need to grasp from this part of the definition is this. If you can see it, it's not faith. But there's a second part to this equation that is equally important for us to grasp, and that is this. If it's not real, then it's not faith. If it's not real, then it's not faith, or at least it's not true biblical faith. It may be blind faith or some other kind of faith, but it's certainly not what the Bible means by faith. In other words, biblical faith, it's not about being certain about non-realities that you cannot see. No, it's only about those things which are true and actual, which you cannot see. Let me give you another example. If I walk up to the counter at the supermarket and buy a lottery ticket, and I hold that ticket in my hand, right? And I say to myself, I believe I'm going to win. I believe I'm going to hit that jackpot. I can't see it. The odds are all against me, but that's okay. I live by faith and not by sight. I'm certain I'm going to win. I have faith. Well, folks, that's not biblical faith, because you're not basing your conviction on reality. You're basing it on a fantasy. That's like saying, I do believe in fairies. I do. I do. I do believe in fairies. I do. I do. I do believe in fairies. I don't care how many times you say it. If there are no such things as fairies, saying it over and over again is not going to make them suddenly appear. See, if it's not real, then it is not true biblical faith. How about the person who believes sincerely in a false religion, or who worships an idol with deep conviction of heart? Is that biblical faith? Will that save them? No. Because once again, if it's not real, then it's not true biblical faith. So taking the two parts of our definition together, what is faith then? Here we go. Faith is the foundation that gives strength to your hopes. Faith is a deep conviction in your heart concerning realities that you cannot see. I'll say that again. Faith is the foundation that gives strength to your hopes, and faith is a deep conviction in your heart concerning realities that you cannot see. Going back to our examples, God is real, even though I cannot see him. And when I believe in God, I am exercising true biblical faith, and I am strengthened in hope. God has promised to meet all my needs. He's promised to meet all my needs, but that bill far exceeds my available funds. But when I believe God's promise, I believe in something real. And therefore, I am exercising faith, and I am strengthened in hope. I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have broken God's commands, and that I am deserving of God's judgment. But God's word tells me that Jesus died on the cross for my sins so that I might be forgiven, and that I might have eternal life with God in heaven. Once again, I don't see it. I don't fully understand it. It is an unseen reality. But when I put my faith in Christ, I am saved. God says that his Holy Spirit lives in me right now, that he's preparing me for heaven. And yet I still struggle with sin. How can God live in me when I am still such an unworthy sinner? I can't see it. And yet it is real. I live by faith, not by sight, and I'm strengthened in the hope of my salvation. Now, it's interesting. Both parts of this definition speak of being sure about things that you cannot see. Did you notice that? You know, that first part of the definition speaks about hope. Well, what is hope? Hope refers to future realities that you cannot see. You can't see them. Why? Because, well, they're in the future. They haven't happened yet. And then the second part speaks about the present realities that you cannot see. And you can't see them. Why? Because they are spiritual realities and we live in a physical world. And so faith refers to both present and future realities that you cannot see. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. Those are the future realities. And certain of what you do not see, even now in the present. So verse 1 gives us this two-part definition of faith. Now moving on to verse 2. Verse 2 tells us why this definition is so important by applying it to the lives of Old Testament believers and by extension, therefore, to us. Here's verse 2, very short. This is what the ancients were commended for. That's it. This is what the ancients were commended for. And you wonder, well, who are the ancients, right? Well, the word ancients here is the word for elders. And it can simply mean someone who's older than you. It could refer to elders in a position of leadership or authority in the church. Or another meaning is it can also mean forefathers. And that's what it means here. It clearly refers to the forefathers of faith scattered across the pages of history as found in the Old Testament. You see, the stories in the Old Testament are not just historical accounts of things that happened back then in the past. Okay, they are that, right? They are historical accounts, but they are also so much more. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, that these things occurred as examples for us. As examples. And just as the stories of the Old Testament are meant to serve as examples, so also the people of the Old Testament are meant to serve as examples. And here the book of Hebrews points specifically to their faith. That's what verse 2 says. This is what the ancients were commended for. What's the this here? It's their faith. It is this deep conviction that was in their hearts to believe in unseen realities, both present and future. It is their conviction and assurance in God that produced in them an unshakable hope in God and His promises. The word commended here, it's a word that means to give a report. To give a report. So it's report card time, okay? It's report card time for the Old Testament believers. Let's pull out their report cards and see how they did. Yeah, not good. You know, when you look at the report cards of the people in the Old Testament, you quickly discover they didn't do so good in a whole lot of areas. Okay, I've got here the report cards for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know what? They all failed miserably in the subject area of honesty. They failed. Moses' report card. He flunked speech. Oh, yeah, and he didn't do so well in the area of temper either. King David failed when it came to sexual purity. Now, when you read through the Old Testament, you don't find too many people who received straight A's when it comes to the report card of their lives. They all had so many failures and flaws, just like us. So many failures and flaws. So you wonder then, why are they commended here? Why are they given a good report here in Hebrews 11, 2? Well, this good report is awarded to them in one area, okay? One area only, the subject area of faith. Okay, this is what the ancients were commended for. Not for living perfect lives. No, they were commended for their faith, for being sure of what they hoped for and certain of what they did not see. They believed God even when they couldn't see the answer, and their faith was credited to them as righteousness. Once again, the righteous will live by faith. And then you know what? The rest of Hebrews 11 is simply a running commentary on these first two verses. In the remaining verses of this chapter, the writer of Hebrews is going to take us through the whole Old Testament, starting with creation. And he will demonstrate for us how all these Old Testament believers exercised true biblical faith and how that faith benefited their lives in the kingdom of God. And so in the coming weeks in this series, we're going to look at creation and Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, and others. Each one of these was specifically commended for their faith. And each one has something different to teach us so that we also may grow in our faith as followers of Jesus Christ. In summary then, in closing, what is faith? Faith is the foundation that gives strength to your hopes, and faith is a deep conviction in your heart concerning realities that you cannot see. One more time. Faith is the foundation that gives strength to your hopes, and faith is a deep conviction in your heart concerning realities that you cannot see. And I like this definition of faith because it is immensely practical. It means that as I grow in my understanding of God and His ways, that I can train myself to trust these realities that I cannot see. Because we do this all the time in the physical world, don't we? I don't exactly know how a TV works, but I know when I press the on button on the remote, I fully expect that TV to turn on. And why is that? Because I've learned over time that although I cannot see the electricity running and I don't know how it all works, that I can trust what is going on behind the scenes, even though I don't physically see it. And as long as the TV is plugged in and working, as long as there are working batteries in the remote, the electricity is turned on and running, then I know when I press that button, the TV is going to turn on. I've learned to have TV remote faith, okay? TV remote faith over time. And it's the same way with the spiritual world. I can't see God. And I don't know how He is working all the time. But I do know that He's there. And the longer I know Him, and the more I grow to understand Him, the more I can trust the reality of those things that I cannot see. I can grow in my God faith, and so can you. So as you and I grow in our faith together, let us press forward in our lives with an unshakable hope as God accomplishes His amazing works in us. Will you please join me in prayer? Well, Father God, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for this amazing chapter, Hebrews 11. We're just scratching the surface here, just the first couple of verses, and yet we've learned so much already. And so, Lord, along with Your disciples many years ago, we prayed that same prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Help us to grow and be more like Jesus. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.